me. Gentlemen, this is a $500 plate dinner. Good night.
Oh, $500. Oh, okay. All right, no problem. Here, put us down for four, in case we want seconds.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another week of Muskies on Tap. I am your host, Gus Manti. It is a late July evening. I'm currently indulging in a Busch peach latte, and it's very refreshing on this night. And we're going to have a good one here. We're going to have a whole hodgepodge of guests, and it's going to be a little bit of a free-for-all. We're going to see how it goes. Probably a lot of storytelling. You know, maybe chop up a little tactics here and there, but I'm sure we're going to get sidetracked like crazy. So without going any further, let me introduce the other hosts on here tonight. We got none other than my brother, Max. How you doing tonight, Max?
Doing good. Not much on my plate this week or anything to really get off my chest here. I am sipping on a highly balanced, super drinkable Lagunitas IPA. Very, very delicious beer. One of my favorites on a very hot Minneapolis day here. Looks like the weather on our neck of the woods is about to get very warm. Not sure if that trend is going to be happening up in the North Woods of Wisconsin, but so I'm going to be on ice for a bit as far as the fishing goes. But looking forward to the next trip and getting back up there. But yeah, other than that, I'd be honored to introduce our other co-host here, and that is none other than Mr. Brian Eckel, looking fresh with his new haircut there.
Gus, you didn't notice, man. What the hell? Max noticed right away. He said, that is a fresh cut, dog.
Can tell, man. You always got that hat on, you know. It's just like me. I had a fresh cut like last week. I didn't say nothing, but, you know, it's cool. I didn't make a big deal.
No, it looks good, man.
Yeah,
it looks better the week later after a cut when it all kind of settles. You know, you look clean and, you know, aerodynamic for the summer.
Sure. Yeah, that's the goal here. Really, I'm trying to get a better tan line going. You know, I was unfortunate, had to lose a couple of those natural frosted tips, but it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Same here. But sure. Happy to be on tonight. Looking forward to the big crew we got hopping on here in a bit. Spent the weekend golfing a whole lot, played 36 on Saturday, and then watched the Open on Sunday. The Open was pretty lackluster first couple days. Saturday leaderboard finally picked up, and then Sunday was a pretty entertaining final round. Really cool course. I used to hate the Open, hate the layout of those courses, but gained a lot of respect for him. Just a totally different style of golf. And shout out Xander for becoming a dog this year on tour. Max,
where's your boy? Where's your boy? I'm the only takeaway is you going back all in on Rory last week on our pod. You're saying you're back in Rory's camp. You're riding side by side through thick or thin.
Yeah.
And now you don't even let him. You don't even.
Well, I'll tell you what. That,
I mean, he ghosted you.
That lasted about 11 holes on Thursday when I was all in on Rory's camp, and I boarded ship pretty quick. I was like, you know what? I'm not losing sleep over him this weekend. Forget about it and move on. I don't know. I don't know that guy. You know, it was a good year. U.S. Open was fun. Next year, though, it's going to be hell. I'll promise you that.
Okay. All right, well, we'll just put a little note of that here in the file cabinet and stash that away.
See you in April.
No real takeaways for me for that golf tournament. It was a good one. I will say, if I could draw a little parallel to the old fishing industry, or not industry, but the competitive fishing landscape that Gus and I have been doing. You know, Xander was always a guy kind of just, you know, always the bridesmaid, never the bride, never got to win. Win big one until this year, and next thing you know, he gets two. So I don't know, Gus, what are you thinking? Maybe we could take a page out of Xander's book, and instead of taking like a eighth place finish in one of these PMTT events, we'll step it up and actually get one of those big trophies.
Yeah, I think we ought to try for that, no doubt. I think we're gonna give it our all at Tonka here. You got
about time you start trying.
Yeah, but yeah. You got a little more I think intel there. You were there just the other day, Max, checking out some stuff. And it's good to hear that a lot of fish are moving, but man, it sounds like it's tough to get them to bite during the middle of the day. And I think that's going to be the biggest key on what to do there. It doesn't sound like super hard to find them, but it sounds very tough to get them to bite. So I don't know if you got anything to go on that.
Yeah, not really much else to add. I mean, we'll see how that tournament shapes up. I think it's going to be very weather dependent. I will be curious to see what the water temps will be come late August. I mean, we're going to get a pretty big warm up here, like I said, in the cities, and obviously the end of August feels pretty far away, but man, not going to be all that much time here come August to cool off those waters. I mean, they were already kind of getting into that like 77-ish range last time I was out there. So I'm sure once this huge heat streak kind of comes over the cities for the next week or so, they'll continue to skyrocket. But we were out on the big water, really, really deep, clear, body. I guess the system on that side of the lake is very deep, very clear. I think just naturally it's harder to get fish to go during the middle of the day. But I think when you pair that with, how much these fish have been kind of put to school with all the different types of tips and tricks and tactics and baits that they see every day, just seems like they're really curious. They don't have any problem coming up and saying, hey, it's just getting them to actually open up their mouths. I'm not still sure how to crack that code. So we'll have our work cut out for us for sure in August, but I am looking forward to it. I don't know what if they've been kind of ramping up the stocking a bunch in that fishery, but there's certainly a good amount of them in there. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, well, that's good to hear, and we'll definitely be touching more on that when the time comes and it's August time frame, but for now it's late July, and over here we're about to get that heat up that you're talking about, Max. I think 'cause typically up here we get the weather that you guys in Minneapolis or just Minnesota in general gets the day before, and today was only a high of 70 and pretty sunny and a brisk north wind, day two of a cold front, tough bite. We had our opportunities, did not capitalize on them, unfortunately, but we did figure out that fish on this cold front actually slid out rather than in, and that's where the active ones were. So we figured it out, but unfortunately, we just couldn't seal the deal, and the bites did not turn into grip and grins. But our water temps here are chilling at like 71, 72, 73. Just with
Nice.
that sun peeking out on some of those flat calm areas, we're definitely getting back to like 74, 75. And I expect for sure with our warm up that we're going to get here, we're looking like a lot of 79 to like 83 as a highs for the next week. I'm sure we're going to get some hot water watches on certain systems that are very stained, very shallow, and very weedy. So definitely just be aware of that and switch lakes if need be, if the water temps are getting too hot that you're comfortable fishing in. So just be sure to watch your handling of fish. If they're even hooked a little bit bad, don't be afraid to just do a net release. I know we've done our fair share. If it's not a super big one or anything, just protect the future and just fish smartly. And you'll be good. So you'll be good to go. So I think you got something, Max?
Oh, I just wanted to quickly ask about when you talked about the fish sliding out today in the cold front, because that's interesting.
Yeah.
When you say slid out, what I mean, where were they sliding to? Like weed edges or further out? Because I know last time I was up there, those fish were pretty much tight, either up in the stuff or pretty close to that edge. Were they like a cast length off, two cast lengths off? I mean, what are you talking about?
Well, if I would say about a cast length, two cast lengths maybe, but we figured this out actually this morning. I took a group where I had a follow boat where some more of the people just got in their own boat and followed. They're staying up for the week. And on the first spot, we lost one on a Navin. And I told them, okay, just throw a dive and rise or something. It's a cold front and cold front killer for sure. Throw that. And, we were probably 20 to 30 feet from the weed edge on this particular drift. And at this point, the follow boat was kind of weaving back and forth of being in the weeds and way out of the weeds. And at this point, he was way out, and I marked one about 10 feet from the boat. We never visually saw it, and they were way out, and he actually brought it to the boat, and it tried to eat boat side. And we're figuring that these fish are just sitting further out, and not only are they sitting like off the weeds, if we were too close to them, they didn't seem comfortable to come up and eat. So like you had to cast and land at most the weed edge, if anything, a little bit off where there's some very fringe stuff or the drop off. So for example, we're, working a weed edge that was 7 feet, 7.5 feet, and we'd keep our boat in 8, as opposed to this morning we found out pushing out to like 11, 12, 15, 16 feet of water and bomb casting and landing in like 9 was more of the ticket rather than landing in 4 or 5. And fish were just showing up a lot more often. And all the ones that we would mark and not move would actually move or eat. So we figured that one out. And I don't know if I would have figured it out as fast if we didn't have a follow boat. I would have been just like, oh, they're just some fish hanging off the break, and not really doing much. So that was interesting, but cool to get that pattern going. The follow boat did manage to boat too, but I think some, definitely good to see at least some were landed.
That's
And I
good.
think between all the people, they had bets and like first fish, biggest fish, and the guys in my boat were they fell short. I think one of my friends set the hook.
Oh no, a little money involved, or what was the weight? What were the stakes?
$50 first fish, $50 to the biggest, and I think
Damn.
they even had 50 for the most fish. And one guy
Oh.
took all of it.
What'd they
So
think they were getting into? School bass?
everything, I don't know. The one guy was def I didn't know about this bet until the one guy caught the first fish, which was a pike in the other boat. And so I guess that guy, a different guy, got the first fish bet.
Was it a
But
full day?
no, it was just a half day, just a short half day
Most fish
morning.
for a half day is crazy.
I know,
We all need that
seriously.
confidence.
I know. Well, there's the, I mean, jeez, we had 6 bites, so something
Could have
crazy could
happened, yeah.
happen this morning. Yeah, but the one guy lost one like right away. And I didn't know about this bet. And then when the guy caught the pike, they're all like, oh, he won. I'm like, oh, so that loss really stung then.
Yeah.
I didn't know about the bet.
Tough,
It's a
tough,
fun
tough, tough.
crew. Yeah, it was a good time. Great time.
Good. Glad to hear it. All right. Well, should we fire up this interview? I guess if you could call it an interview, or more so just a good chat with some fellas here. Good sit
Around the
down chat
horn.
about some muskies. Yeah, around the horn.
Round the horn. Yep. All right. Let's dial it up with well, we'll introduce them here shortly. So. All right, here on the line, we got a whole big group of guests here, and we're gonna be talking about some good old-fashioned fish stories tonight. And I think just right off the bat, we're going to just introduce them left to right on my screen here. So we're going to start with you, Phil. Phil, how are you doing tonight? Introduce yourself. And yeah.
I'm doing great, guys. I'm happy to be back. Phil Sadola from Angler Sport Fishing. Normally fish Green Bay area, but we're here to talk about our trip with the great Michael Hansen, the Whisper of the Northwoods.
Phil, thanks for coming on
Nice.
during your birthday.
Oh, sure.
Oh,
Yeah.
that's right.
It's not a lot happening tonight anyway for my birthday, so I figured I like I said, I had a blast last time, so I'm happy to be back.
Yeah, but what do you got dialed up tomorrow night? You're telling
Oh
us
yeah,
about it. Sounds pretty
tomorrow night we're really
good.
going out. We're going out for dinner. Gonna get probably some prime rib, get about my wife's gonna be driving, so I would guess over unders like 5 or 6 old fashions and
Get you where you
the
need to
sack and
be.
just be go right to bed when I get home, be dialed. That's what I think I'm supposed to do at 35 at this point. That's kind of my MO. Get to bed early, but with a nice jig on and color good.
That's awesome. All right, and the other one that he referred to was Michael, their trip that they had up in the greater Hayward area, Northwest Wisconsin. So, Michael, introduce yourself. I don't know how much of an introduction you need. This has got to be third, fourth, or something time on here. So,
Yeah, it
pretty
might
much
be Brett
cool.
Favre number 4, which is always a
Think
good
so.
number. Yeah, I'm Michael Hansen, Namekagon Area Guide Service, guiding up in northwestern Wisconsin. And yeah, I had these guys from Green Bay up there for a couple days, and it was a lot of fun. We were raising some money for a great cause. And man, we should talk about that excitement too, Phil, maybe, eh?
Sure, absolutely.
Oh
But
yeah, got some more big
yeah,
news. A lot of
it was
big
an epic
news.
week or epic weekend. It was a lot of fun.
Your
That's
gear was a
awesome.
little worse for the wear afterwards, but we had a lot of fun anyway, huh?
Oh man.
Oh.
Man, we really behaved ourselves though. We really fished hard. That was cool. That was a lot of fun.
Well,
I
yeah,
like
that's
that.
always kind of the goal is to fish hard and then also, have a nice time after that too,
Yeah, I mean,
You can't let it. I
after
mean,
when we got home really, really late, you guys didn't disappoint. I was like, whoa, there they are.
Well, your fishing schedule lends to that lifestyle pretty perfectly. I'm not gonna lie. When you start at 10 a.m. and you fish till 11, 10 in the morning and fish till 11 at night, that makes for an easy one to come home and you have a couple cocktails with dinner, and then you're like, well, I don't even have to get up early. This is nice.
Not bad, not bad. Well, thanks for coming on again, Michael. And we got also none other than Kyle, aka Carl, Huntsie Tails man himself. He is in the car right now with a few other beauties headed to Vermilion to go catch some giants. So, Kyle, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. We just stopped for some dinner, a couple cocktails, and I think we're about an hour and 20 out. Who's
Love to
driving
hear it.
there, Carl?
Driving.
I'm not driving. I'm not driving.
You
Our
said
driver's
we.
just
Everett just incriminated
Oh, what's going on?
there's three of them for the sake of plausible deniability. There are three people in that truck, so two of them
Thank you,
could have had
Phil.
cocktails and it'd still be weak for the record.
True. Thank you,
Thank
Phil.
you,
Thanks.
Phil.
Good
Just
clarification
in the
there.
state in the yeah, for the sake of plausible deniability.
So what's going on up in Vermilion this week, there, Kyle?
We got a 4-day trip here. We're camping at Fortune Bay. And then coming back Sunday. So we got 3 full days, maybe a half day Sunday, and we're gonna throw some bangers at them.
Nice. What's the vibes like right now in the car? Expectation levels high, low? Where are we at? How are we feeling?
Yeah. We're pretty excited. We just looked. We got a 444 is peak major tomorrow morning. So
Oh.
I think we're gonna get there, set up tents in the dark, get to bed, and try and hit a little bit of that major at least.
Do you want to be your
Awesome.
alarm clock? I'll call you.
Will you be still awake because you haven't gone to bed yet, or are you getting up in the morning there, Michael?
What's
No,
that?
I no, we're gonna get up in the morning.
I was talking about Michael. If you're calling them to be their alarm clock, I'm like.
No, I would just think that would be super funny that Kyle heard my voice
He schedules a
waking
wake
up.
up call like he's at a hotel. Good
Yeah.
morning, Mr.
Yeah.
Hunsader. It's time to go fishing now.
You must depart.
Yeah.
All right,
All right.
How's Jamie's attitude right now and morale on a scale of 1 to 10?
He's pretty excited.
That's good.
He's ready to get him tomorrow.
That's good. Hopefully he's not so serious like he was when we were with Michael. Just kidding, Jamie. I love you. Sorry.
We got a
He
little
might have
back and
just
forth
pointed a finger
banter
your way,
here.
Phil.
Nice.
Hey,
All right.
that Jamie was serious and he was paying attention.
And
And
look what
I'm
it got him. Nothing.
he was really the
But
only one in the boat consistently paying attention, but we'll get more into that later.
yeah, well.
Yeah. Well, now that we got everybody on here, let's kind of relay, I guess, the story maybe so that the people listening know what's going on. I'm sure there's a few people that are like, what the hell is going on already, which is totally fine. That's probably what's going to maybe happen a couple times here. But Michael, do you want to describe like what the trip that, you know, Phil and Kyle and Jamie won to go fishing with you in the first place, maybe?
Yeah. So, Phil and his lovely wife, held a three more lines tournament, to help raise some money to do some adoption stuff here. And, I don't know, I'm not probably saying that correctly, but, and you know, when he told me about that, I was like, oh man, I'd love to donate a day for that. That'd be cool. And, it just so happens that Kyle won it. And Kyle, Phil, and Jamie are all really good buddies, and they all matched up together, and they decided to go for 2 days, which was really, really cool. Got to have them over at my place. We had an awesome pike fish fry one night, and yeah, it was just good to be around some guys that aren't necessarily used to fishing up in the North Woods all that often. So I mean, I wouldn't. I don't blame them. You got Green Bay in your backyard. Why wouldn't you pound that?
Yeah. Yeah, it was awesome. We ended up, like Michael said, we Kyle won the trip, and I don't think he made it out the door that night without being like, dude, can I come? Like, can I come with you? You know, whatever. And then Michael came and spoke at our Titletown Muskies Inc. Club, and I think that's when we got our date on the book then for when we wanted it. We just booked a Saturday and Sunday, kind of a two-day deal, and Michael was nice enough to let us stay by his place, which I have to admit, I was really impressed. I wasn't sure what we were going to be walking into. I didn't care. I mean, as a guy who used to live in a garage for a few years, I wasn't really needing anything high maintenance, but I was really impressed. It was a really nice place. I was like, huh, no shit, pretty nice. And then, like you said, Michael treated us to a wonderful pike fish fry at like 12:30 in the morning on Saturday night, which was really nice. I haven't eaten pike since I was probably a kid, and it was delicious. The Kesslers didn't have anything to do with my ratings of the fish fry either. It was good either way, you know. It was good. We got up there Saturday, though. It was pretty awesome. We met Michael right at his house, went out fishing right away, and we had such a blast, man. I was really blown away by the size class of fish that we were seeing with Michael, and ended up putting three in the boat. Probably should have had a couple more. We can get into that a little more too. As Michael said, Jamie was really dialed in and on his stick the whole time. And Kyle and I maybe wasted a couple opportunities.
But, I believe Mike gave us a few nicknames on the way.
Yeah.
What were these nicknames? Kyle earned the name Sledgehammer, and we definitely played the tune by Peter Gabriel, Sledgehammer, a few times in the boat. Nice. Just so everybody knew that Sledgehammer was the guy. And not in a negative way, you know. You don't necessarily get a nickname in my boat for doing something negative, but it kind of was negative.
To frame that for perspective, we talked about his gear took a little bit of a beating when we were in the, I think, was that, that was like the evening of the first night we were there, right? That you caught that fish, Kyle, kind of going into the, not dark yet, but kind of late afternoon that first night.
Yeah.
I want to say early evening, late afternoon.
Yeah. So we had seen some fish already. We were having a good day, whatever. And then Kyle had one bite. And, I mean, if we would have had a GoPro running, it would have been, I mean, about the most comical thing you could have seen, because I had just bombed a cast. So Kyle and I are in the front of Michael's boat. He hooks one, and I see him hook it, and he hooks it right by the boat, and he kind of is moving towards me. So I just lift my arms up. Kyle goes running under me, and it was like he was going to run the 400-meter dash. He starts running all the way around the boat, and I'm like, dude, where's he going? You know, and Michael's trying to follow him, and he goes around the boat, gets back by the motor, tries to pull it up, tries to reach for it, doesn't quite get it in the net, keeps going for the run. And, dude, he made – I mean, he was close to making a full lap. He got to the other side, and about that time was when he decided to step where there wasn't any floor. He just took a tumble. And by the grace of God alone, that fish stayed pinned, and we caught the fish. It was a very, very nice fish. Which one was that, Carl? Was that 44?
Yeah, it was the 44 and change.
Yeah, 44 and change. Anyway, so he's throwing a banger, hooks one, runs around the whole boat, takes a digger, and then he gets in the net. We're like, wow, I can't believe we didn't break anything. And we look and I go, oh, there's a piece of the rod. There's another piece of the rod. He just like body slammed it. It was like,
wait, did he break the rod that he caught?
Just set a rod on the gunnel, yeah, and then just dove on it belly first. He did kind of belly flopped on the rod and broke the tip. But it was an impressive display for nothing else, for sure.
Kyle made such a racket. And we're not ripping on you, because like we went over this, like that was funny stuff. And and just so everybody knows on record, did I get upset when that rod was broken?
Not at all. I would say, no. If you're looking for a guy that you want to take that you know is going to be patient with you, even when you do foolish things, Michael is your guy. that wasn't our only gaffe of the weekend, but yeah, it was funny because even in the moment, like as he falls and rolls around in the bottom of the boat, Michael, like just in the spur of the moment, goes, "Hey, buddy, take it easy." And it was still like, he wasn't even mad. He's just like, "Whoa, buddy, what are you doing?" It was so funny. So the whole rest of the weekend, anybody didn't go, "Hey, buddy, take it easy."
And I don't remember any of that, me saying that. It's just one of those blackout musky moments. But
right,
it was
right,
just right. So exciting. You know, watching Kyle asked me what colors I liked as far as bucktail goes. And, I told him my normal, like, black and chartreuse and something like sucker patterned. And then he brought up, exactly what I said I liked. And we started throwing my stuff right off the bat, and then I was like, "Here, throw this." And Kyle looks at me, "Yeah, really?" I was like, "Hell yeah! Why wouldn't it work? It's a bucktail. Let's see what this thing's got." And man, I was blown away by that little bugger. That thing was awesome.
That banger was hot.
Yeah, I think we went 2 for 3 or 2 for 4 on it, maybe.
Yeah,
definitely 2 for 3.
Yeah, my fish and Kyle's first fish came on it, and then I think he lost at least one or two fish. Did you lose on it, Carl?
I think 2 I lost on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
They were chomping on it.
Yeah, that was one more of those, a couple instances of people not paying attention. But again, we'll get into more of that later.
Yeah, right. Well, Michael had given me a different bucktail on the first day as well. And I don't know exactly what happened, but that bait ended up just flying into the water on a cast, and I honestly don't know what happened, but it must have been fate, because I ended up with the banger on my line later on, and then I caught the biggest fish of the weekend, so that worked out all right for me that way. But
man.
Of course, Michael goes, "Oh, I can't replace that. That's kind of a new thing. You can't buy me a new one of those." I was like, "Oh, geez." Like he was totally not upset, but I was like, I felt pretty bad that I just chucked his bait right in the water.
Michael, they were doing a number on your equipment there, it sounds like.
Yeah, it was pretty insane. I mean, like, it's not like the line broke. What happened on that?
I don't know. It was on a split ring. All of a sudden, I just go to cast. It's like, yoink. Like, what?
Just gone.
What did you do? And I'm like, it was straight up on a Tommy Boy. It's like, what did you do?
Like, it's whatever. They make more of those things. And when you're out on the water, that's time. And you don't got a whole lot of time. So you got to just move forward and freaking go catch some fish. There's no sense of being upset over anything like that. You just got to go. Just go put a damn fish in the boat so you have something to be happy about.
Right.
We did that.
It sounded like a Matthew McConaughey commercial right there.
Just keep on living, baby. LIVIN.
So you guys talked about sounds like some lapses in concentration, or maybe one of the guys being too concentrated. What was going on there? Is that responsible for some misfish or what?
Jamie was in the back the whole time, and I told him, like, that's kind of a power play move back there because he got mega side imaging. So when you get those lazy fish, and he was throwing primarily rubber, you have that opportunity to you know, get a few more casts at that fish before anybody else. And then again, at night when we're throwing really big bucktails, you get that side imaging so you can do your L turn right in front of it. If you don't see anything after that first, second turn, move on, start casting. Whereas everybody else is blind. So, those fish were really aggressive and they were going after the first and second baits up in front of the boat, without a doubt. And it was really cool because we finally had a little bit of some weather that was stable. It wasn't necessarily warm, but it wasn't cold. And those fish were pretty much fired up all day. They were showing themselves really well in a lake that really doesn't show a whole lot of fish. You mainly see a lot of them following really deep on side imaging. And the key was staying out deep. And that's something I've kind of struggled with over the past, is trying to get your bait into the weeds as much as possible. And you're staying only 20, 30 feet away from the weed edge. We were really focusing on trying to stay out at least 70 to 80, maybe 85 feet away from the weeds. And that helped a lot because a lot of those fish were either in the weeds right away in the morning, and then towards the evening they were sitting on that sand, and that's how we were getting those most active fish for those ones. They were charged up in the sand. And so anyways, about, you know, missing a few fish, you know, for Kyle again.
We don't have to jump on Kyle right away. I did screw up the first one that was screwed up. That kind of got brushed under the rug, but I'll, in full disclosure,
I forgot did, about that. So go
that
ahead.
Topwater fish came in and I was not paying attention.
Gosh. I'm so sorry, Kyle. How did I not forget about that? The hottest fish.
Okay, so I told you guys a little bit before you got on, Michael, before we started recording, like, I think you really thought, like, oh, dude, these guys are going to be solid. They're going to be great sticks. They're going to be, like, so dialed in. Like, this is going to be an easy breezy weekend for me. And, like, it was not. Like, I tell people sometimes, like, when I have buddies come down, like, oh, yeah, I'll give you the full guide experience. Like, you know, just buddies that are coming to fun fish with me. But, like, I feel like we gave you the full client experience. Like, we were just just blowing it half the time. But, you know, we pulled it together when we needed it to. But, yeah, there was one on the first day. I was throwing a topwater. And, you know, I was just bringing it in, not really paying attention, and talking to Kyle or so. We were talking stupid in the front of the boat, and it was probably Jamie or Michael. I was, Phil, and I kind of did an eight, and kind of was like, whoop, all right. And I was like, oh, there goes one. I'm like, shit.
It just all of a sudden, right at the last second, just started waking on this thing. And on that L turn, it just was on it. And yeah. Phil just pulled it away from it. And he's like, I don't want to catch that mid-40 inch. It's raining outside. It's miserable. Like, this kind of sucks. But I really don't want to cheer myself up by catching it.
I thought the vibes were good. I didn't want to change the vibes. I didn't want to get – we were just having a nice time talking. I didn't want to interrupt it with any excitement, you know.
How thoughtful.
And I really appreciate that about you, Phil.
No, that was bad. That was one of those things where I've seen somebody do that. I go, how could anyone do that? They look so dumb. And then it was me doing it. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll eat my words on that one. That's fair. That was on me. I was on vacation, obviously.
And it happens. I'd be a liar if I told you I didn't screw up every once in a while.
Sure, everybody's sure, absolutely.
You're going to get lazy every once in a while and you pay for it. And are you going to move on and try to be better? Or are you gonna suck even more? You never
know.
I'm
definitely not angry. I didn't let it get me down, you know. I just said, on to the next one.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah,
I got
different.
A few.
You guys don't fish topwaters out there and the Green Bay that much.
I wanted to touch on a few things there. I know Michael brought up something interesting, and I was going to touch back on to maybe some of the bangers, the hunty tails as well. But first, Michael, what you were talking about with the weed edge, stepping off of it and stuff, we were actually just talking about that in our intro before you guys all got on, about this cold front that just happened. I saw that a little bit up here. Are you seeing that pattern? Are you doing that on some other lakes like this summer at all? Are you? Because I know this trip that we're talking about for everybody, I don't think we said anything. Was this mid-June or late June?
This was late June. So it was like that water was just starting to get warm, but it kind of plateaued for a while. But it, you know, that cold water can only turn those fish off for so long. They're going to get hungry. And they were just they were kind of charged up for those couple days. Certain feeding windows, of course, pretty typical of muskies. But yeah, it was a cool kind of pattern. And then again, with those cold fronts, yes, we had a big northeast yesterday, totally flipped from the day before. And we pushed way outside. I was out with my really good buddy, Willen, who also donated a trip to Phil's, Phil and his wife's cause, which is really cool. And, yeah, we ended up catching a really, really big tiger.
Like, oh, yeah, I saw that. That
story.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Insanely fat tiger. It was 46.5, but it was almost 26 inches around. It was like right there. It was unbelievable. That was in the net where we girthed it. It was jumbo tiger. And it was so clean. The head on it, I just can't even describe how they look. They're almost like flat on the sides and just so round on the belly and towards the back. But if you could fillet one of those, it would be way like super impressive. the meat on that thing. It was so powerful. I grabbed the tail of that thing as it was on the bump board, and I've never had a fish move my arm like that. And I held onto it the whole time, but like my arm was violently shaking. I was like, holy piss. Those tigers are just such mean animals. Mean. But yeah, it was really cool. Again, yeah, we did exactly what you said. We slid out quite a ways on the cold front. It was really quiet in the morning, without a doubt, even leading into the early afternoon period. And we had about a 30-minute window where the wind kind of died down. We had that big northeast. And during that 30-minute time period, we lost one that was low to mid-40s. Probably around that 43, 44 inch range. And then we got that big tiger. And then the wind picked back up and those fish just were negative all over again. It was 30 minutes out of the day. It was pretty cool.
Crazy. That's awesome.
And with those cold fronts the way that is, I just don't really see those fish turning back on in the evening if they act like that. I mean, they very well could. I mean, they're muskies. They can do whatever they want at any time, but we ended up calling it early. Just we were like, wow, these things really turned way back off again. And we had a long day and let's get back after it another day, which is tomorrow.
Right. Good shit. That's awesome. And then another thing I wanted to touch on, you guys talked about the bangers. And for those that don't know, that's Kyle's bait that he makes, the Huntsie Tails. And you were talking about a specific banger. Is this a prototype? Is this a hush hush? Or what we got going on here that was getting all the action?
Yeah, so this is a new one I kind of thought of this year. I basically make a 7-8 right now with a single skirt, single treble. And I kind of had green bait in mind with this one just because we're typically out there throwing bucktails, I mean, 16 hours a day. And obviously nines and tens wear on you quite a bit. So I'm like, why don't I make a bait with a big profile but smaller blades? So I made the same 7-8 with double skirt, double weight, double trebles. And I brought it along on the trip with Michael and we ended up, yeah, 2 for 4 on it. So it's definitely a bait you can burn. You can, I mean, retrieve it regularly and rides a little bit deeper. So definitely worked that weekend.
It's loud.
Yeah,
for a bucktail that size, it's really loud. It has a nice grind.
It gets down deep too. You know, I got you graciously sent me one yourself, and it definitely gets down in their face too, which I think is a really good thing. No doubt, it plays a role for sure.
No, oh,
I think we lost. I think we lost two
down two.
Kyle's back.
we were just talking about how good your baits are, Kyle. That's all.
Oh, sorry. I'm popping in and out of service here. We must be getting some bad areas.
All right. Well, close. We wish you best luck on your trip. Send a bunch of pictures of those vermilion fish. Beat up on them good, and hope you catch your What's the goal? What's like, give us a number. What's the over under on big fish for the weekend?
Well, we got to start with one, then we'll go from there.
Okay. Sounds good. All right, buddy. Have a good time. Be safe.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Good luck, Kyle, Jamie, and Clayton.
Thank you.
Peace. Thank you. As our good friend,
there was one.
Yeah, and then there was one. And as our good friend Nick likes to say, you can't catch two if you don't catch one. So they're going with that mentality.
Good expectation, setting them low. That's a good way.
That guy's deep.
Yeah. Oh, yep. He's like a modern day like Aristotle. It's actually kind of crazy. You wouldn't think it if you talk to him, but you know, you sit down with him over a few drinks, and your mind's gonna be blown. Are you riding solo in there, Michael, or do you got Will in there by your side?
Willen's in my living room right now. We're gonna go to bed after this, and we're gonna wake up early and get after it for a couple days before I have to head back to work, and Willie's got to head back to work. So it's kind of nice having a buddy somewhat nearby that's as obsessed with this as you are, or you know, as I am, and or all of us. And yeah, we try to meet up whenever we can, which isn't enough, but it's always fun.
Well, give us the little update on how the season's been going then for you. I mean, you've clearly been on them per usual. I do have to say, I give you a pat on the back. I think you're carrying some good weight to give Wisconsin a good name to say, hey, we still got some big fish living in these waters. it's not a myth. So yeah, it seems like the season's been going good, but.
It's been really good. You know, last year it was way different, and we were seeing a lot of smaller fish, and you know, which isn't bad. We were having a lot of action, but just the big ones weren't showing up because the water was so cold for so long. And this year we had some wind, so the water temps may be showing colder than normal on the surface at times. You know, before we had this 80-degree weather. But with all its wind, it mixes that water up so nicely. And when you have that water that's mixed up and it's more even temperature throughout the whole water column, those muskies just turn on. So it's been good to see a lot of these really nice animals. We got a real big one on the 6th of June right away on a detonator, which is really, really cool. Right in the 8th. Boy. I think that was probably 3 weeks ago. My brother-in-law took a rowboat out on one of these lakes. I'm going to name drop Jake Crone over in Vilas area. You know, I see that guy doing some crazy stuff over there. And Robbie and I looked at each other and we were like, we're going to go do a Jake Crone. And we launched the boat and I stuck one on that. We didn't have a good measurement on it. We didn't bring a bump board. We forgot it, but... You know, we stuck it next to a paddle as best as we could. We measured it at 48 1/4, but it was so big, just a clear water giant. And again, it was just staying out deep, far away from those deep, deep weeds and getting a tube down into their face. That's been really important for putting the big fish in the boat, is getting that bait down to their level, but not necessarily having to work it too slow to get it down to their level.
Was that fish suspended or was it sitting on the bottom? Like, what kind of depth were you in?
The one out of Clearwater?
Yeah.
The one out of the rowboat? Couldn't tell you. I mean, I was up in the front of the boat. I was kind of blind. Robbie did have some electronics in the back, but it seems like I was casting into about 18 feet of water with sand grass that was coming up anywhere from 1 foot to 2.5 feet. But at the same time, I've never made casts that long in my life, because normally I'm used to looking at a screen. I know what's going on, and it was really cool to be up in the front of that boat and not really know what's going on. It's just like, just throw this tube, and if you feel weeds, you know, work it faster. If you don't feel weeds, work it a little slower. Every once in a while I was getting updates, but we came across this point that's on this lake that we had no idea about. There's no real lake maps for it. And, she was just sitting down there. I'm guessing kind of deep. I was working my tube relatively quick, but I didn't let it sink down for a 2 count. So that tube was probably running down around that 8 to 10 foot range over that. So I was probably walking down that break pretty good and dancing over that deep sand grass. It was such a violent eat. It was so cool. Such a fun fish. Really cool memory.
I did watch that video. That was a sweet eat. You were ripping the crap out of that tube, and you just got throttled and started moving the boat. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I was actually quite surprised I could stay up on the bow of that boat as long as I did. And then, like, you could see in the video, I was, like, looking over my shoulder, like, I need to go down, but how am I going to go down without just eating shit? And
Kyle did in your boat.
Yeah, don't pull Kyle.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you learn from that stuff. You know, you're like, how can I be more agile?
Agile.
So you can talk. But I'm just thinking of that guy, just that poor guy, just falling so hard in the boat.
He got the fish, though. That's some athletic moves, though. I mean, as much as he maybe stumbled around a little bit, but keeping that fish pinned, and yeah, we're luck. Probably had,
you know, it just goes to show you can do everything right and you can lose a fish, and then you can have everything go wrong, and that fish is just pinned. And that fish wasn't coming off. It was hooked with two prongs right in the corner of the mouth, like just through the meat. I was like, wow, okay, that's why that wasn't coming off. But yeah, overall, it's been a, you know, to get back on track of the season, it's been awesome. It's been really good. It's been kind of a tougher topwater season. Bucktails have been shining really good. Rubber as always. But yeah. It's going good, and I expect it to continue to go good as long as we keep getting these cool nights. They're coinciding with these somewhat warmer days, you know, low to mid 80s.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. We definitely want to keep the water temps good. I saw that you did venture over to Minnesota. How have those adventures gone?
Yeah, we were over there for 6 days, and we did really well. We got a couple 50s, both personal bests, which was really cool. And then, we got three personal bests. All three of them did. Johnny got a 46 and change. But yeah, we caught quite a few fish. I think we ended up having 9 throughout those 6 days and an unbelievable amount of losses. It wasn't necessarily on those guys. Those fish were, when they were eating it hard. And when they were investigating, they were bumping it or they were just nipping at it. So it wasn't anybody's fault. And you're going to lose fish from time to time. But yeah, we lost a pile of muskies out there. But it was a lot of fun. I can't wait to go back. As much as I love Wisconsin, because it's always hard to leave Wisconsin, you know, we just got that giant tiger, and it's like, man, I could go to Minnesota in a couple of days if I wanted to, and just because I have some time off, but it's like, man, how do you leave that?
That's tough.
Decisions, always. Well, we don't want to keep you too long, but I do got to keep you on for a few. We threw out a few would you rathers on our Instagram thing, so figured you'd be a good addition here to help us out with a few of these. What do you think?
What is it? I'm sorry, you kind of cut out.
Oh, my bad. We put out a poll on our Instagram to have people ask some would you rathers. Or that. And we figured you'd be a good addition to keep along. And I don't know if Willen wants to pop in too and answer one or two. You can let him know. You can feel free to do that.
Yeah,
pop in.
Doing. Really? Yeah. Do you want to hop on this podcast and do a would you rather with me? You're still grilling chicken? Willie's grilling chicken for us.
Nice.
He's doing a good job too. You sure? He's cooking chicken.
All good. We'll get him on another time. No worries there.
He does want to. He does want to. He just has chicken on his mind. He's really planning hard for a couple day excursion.
Right.
So we have to get off the water and feed ourselves.
All right. First one, let's go around the table here. We'll start with you, Michael, and then we'll move to Brian, then Gus. Would you rather celebrate a fish with a cold beer or a pull from the bottle?
Oh, boy, a beer. Yeah. I don't like doing the hard stuff anymore. Not so good for you.
So mature of you.
Yeah, well,
cracking a cold.
I'm not ripping on anybody. I know who I am, and yeah, I got to focus when I'm out there, when I'm fishing. At the end of the day, maybe you can probably twist my arm and take a little shooter, but yeah, probably pulled one. I was watching Ryan, those guys you know, when I had Jamie, Phil, and Kyle, you know, Phil's tradition of, gosh, what does he say? Follow the rules. Rules must be followed, and then the shotgun beer. That was really fun to see.
Yep, those are the rules up here in Tuesday Night League and Monday.
You know, if I get into somebody's boat and they have a specific rule, you got to follow the rules. As my good buddy Justin Lee says, you got to respect the process. And I live by those words, baby.
Awesome. Brian, what do you got on that?
I would rather take a poll. It seems a little bit more of an appropriate celebration, you know. If you're already probably sipping on some cold beer at times throughout your fishing day. So I would say, you know, if it's a good whiskey, I would definitely rather take a poll.
There you go.
How about you, Gus?
I mean, I'm mixed on this answer, but I think for the most part, when I'm in the boat, I always enjoy a cold one. So I'm going to go with Michael on this one. Cracking a beer, I think, is the way to go. So I think that's my answer. Max, what about you?
I'm going beer for sure. That's how I've celebrated fish, you know, because it lasts a little longer too. You know, you can crack it open and feel like you really deserve it after you catch a nice fish.
Yep.
But, you know, teach their own. All right. I feel like this question has been probably
Brian's the alcoholic in the group.
One way to figure that out.
Weed them out. All right. This one's been asked a bunch, but I'm actually kind of curious to hear your guys' thoughts. 51 inch Northern Wisconsin fish or 55, a double nickel Minnesota fish?
Oh, jeepers. I got to start?
Yep. Keeping the probably, order.
Oh, my gosh, man. They're so cool. They're both such cool, unique animals in their own way. 51-inch Scotty, though. It better be fat, though. If it's an old one, I'd want that double nickel over in Minnesota.
I would say 51.
That sounds really choosy, but yeah, I love these Wisconsin fish. It's fun to go over to Minnesota because they, you know, yeah, they definitely act just like our fish, but in so many other ways they don't. And it's kind of fun, kind of learning new things and chasing new things. That's what fishing was always so fun about, especially growing up when you were younger. It was just like, wow. Every new day you learned at least something new that just blew your mind, and you got to keep chasing that excitement.
Yeah, I agree. I would say 51 Wisco just because I haven't caught a 50 yet. I'd rather do it in the home state. If I'd already caught a 50 here, then yeah, without a doubt, the double nickel, but still trying to get that 50. So how about you, Gus?
Out searching. Yeah, I got to go 51 Scotty. And yeah, a big greenie, just clear greenie, you know, not even a stripe on her. She's just big built. And I don't know, that would make my,
what about a brownie? Brownie's kind of cool too.
Brownie's good. They make them in all different shapes
over there. Yeah. Yeah. You guys get a few brownies over there. I've seen them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. We got brownies. We got all the water clarity types show us some wacky looking fish over here. That's for sure. And a lot of barred ones too.
Max, yeah, that's cool. You? And we don't see a whole lot of barred ones.
Really? Yeah. It's in like unique places. It seems like over here, every once in a while they pop up in places you wouldn't expect, but fairly unique for the barred muskies over here. But Max, what about you? 51 Wisconsin or 55 Minnesota?
Right when I read the question, I was like, oh, obviously a 51 Scotty, because like Brian said, home state and everything. But thinking about it and hearing you guys talk, I mean, give me the double nickel, man. Give me a 55 incher on my wall
in my
It is kind of cool. Imagine just putting your mitt inside of that gill. Yeah. Good grief. Yeah, like, man.
Because you hear about people talk about, like, you know, 50's big. I also would not know. I've never caught a 50. Like, 50's big. And then, like, you know, 52 is, like, it gets, like, every inch past, like, 52, the fish gets, like, that much bigger. So I would just love to know what the hell a 55-inch fish looks like. So, yeah, I don't know. I might regret that answer, but that's what I'm going to go with for tonight here. All right.
I dig it. I respect that.
This one's coming from the guru, so obviously it involves musky poop and more 50 inch talk too. So would you rather to catch a 50 incher, would you rather have to eat musky poop or lick one of your buddy's toes?
Sorry, that's just way too weird for me to even consider answering such a question. So
hey Pat, I'm gonna you can pass
otherwise if I'm forced to answer it, I'm gonna log it off.
Can easily pass. I think that's very understandable.
No, I mean, I'm definitely not licking anybody's toes, like, that's for sure. That's not happening. And I surely, like, I've accidentally ingested pike shit before, and I guarantee you I got so sick from it for like a day. It was horrible.
Brian, then how are you gonna follow that up?
I mean I don't know who's got the stones to say they've licked their buddy's toes. I mean, I feel like we're all just gonna say eat poop, because I don't know about that answer. A little ayo.
Yeah. A little ayo action.
I'm gonna lose a lot of respect for anybody that chooses the toes. So tread lightly.
I think we ought to just go on to the next one.
I got one here. It's a little bit you know, not involving fishing, but it comes from my sister who doesn't fish. Would you rather wear a bib every time you eat out or drink from a sippy cup at every bar?
Oh, sippy cup for sure. Yeah.
That's a conversation starter.
So many lost beers from happening. Oh, you lost anything.
That's a good
about
point.
It.
Yeah.
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 I
didn't think of that. Yeah. Wow, I'm thinking about safe. Like wearing a white shirt, though. You might want a bib, but I would go with a sippy cup.
So safe.
Probably go down smoother.
No, no. I think you have a better chance of a lady like talking to you if you're using a sippy cup at a bar, because they're probably already drinking. They're like, whoa, that's weird. I got to go talk to that guy.
That's true.
Rather than, dinner where they're, you know, just like, whoa. What's
that's
wrong
a very
with that,
good
fella?
Point. You must have thought of this scenario before.
Well, I think a lot up here. There's a lot to think about in a lonely northern Wisconsin woods up here. Yeah, Gus, you guys have Hobby Lobbies and stuff over by you. That's not real. That shouldn't be allowed up in Rhinelander.
Rhinelander's right. Yeah, Rhinelander's got it going on. They got a Walmart. They got like a Menards.
Starbucks now.
I can see a Walmart, but a Hobby Lobby, get out of here. Come on.
Yeah. Well, Brian, I know you. I don't know if we need to answer this any further. I mean, I'm going sippy cup too. Michael just pretty much made the answer for me. I don't.
We might have to get some new Muskies on Tap merch, custom sippy cups going forward.
Ooh.
All right, merch.
Nice.
Guys,
yeah.
All
think
you.
About your carpet. For those who cannot afford the Aztec flooring, this will save you.
Yeah, I gotta go sippy cup too. Although it would be, I mean, it would, you'd look like a total nerd if you whipped out a bib every time that you went to eat, but it'd also be kind of like a little bit of a flex too. Like, you know,
very proper.
I got a bib up.
Got a bib up.
Oh,
hey, Phil.
We got a strangler back.
Phil made it back.
Dip, boys.
All good. Welcome
hey, Phil,
back.
Thanks, man. Would you rather drink out of a sippy cup every time you go to a bar, or have to wear a bib every time you eat food?
I mean, both would be beneficial because I spill plenty of drinks at bars and I usually get food on my shirt. So is there an option for both?
Yeah, both.
It kind of defeats the purpose of the would you rather game. But
I apologize. I'm not trying to break the rules here. But Both would be beneficial. If I had to pick one, I'd probably pick the bib because I ruin a lot of nice shirts that way.
Good answer. That's awesome. You just walked in on us. Yeah. Would you rather? We did a would you rather on our Instagram story. So we'll continue with another one. Brian or Max got one dialed up.
Yeah, this one's a little bit also kind of gross, and I'm gonna kind of rephrase a little bit, but good one. It's you misjudge the breakfast burrito on the way to the lake. Are you going to a sketchy gas station, or are you just gonna go in the woods?
I don't know. I got pretty good self control personally, so
nice.
But yeah, that's probably impressive. The woods. I got toilet paper. Always have baby wipes too. They don't have to be man wipes. You can use baby wipes. You can use whatever. So always have those.
I just love the misjudging of the breakfast burrito. Like, what are we misjudging here?
Yeah,
it's a breakfast.
Has it already happened? It's gonna go right through you every time.
I mean, I understand what they're saying. I mean, I do. I get what they're saying. We got a guy that we know. One of our friends. Each time he gets up in the morning to go fishing, he'll get up, you know, kind of get ready, do whatever, and he'll go outside his house, walk two laps around the house. And then come in and take a crap before he leaves. Cause he goes, as soon as I get outside, that fresh air hits and I just got to go. He goes, I got a plan for that.
Fresh air.
He's like a dog. He's just like a dog.
Shout out to Craven.
Shout out that guy.
If I had to pick, I guess like Michael said, I do always roll prepared. So. I mean, sketchy gas station is a flip of a coin. You know, if you can find a quick trip, you're probably good. But a sketchy one, you might have to go and ask for the key. That's always embarrassing. And then they know, you know, you come back and your Ace Ventura, like, do not go in there. And, like, they know it was you. The woods might be the best option at that point.
Dude, I'm cracking up for a few different reasons, but I'm just thinking about your buddy. I don't have no idea if he listens to this or not, but I could just imagine the look on his face if he decides to tune into this podcast for whatever reason.
He's just getting ousted about doing a dog walk
before.
Good. I'm not. I think it's brilliant, dude. I'm not airing him out. I'm like, this guy's got stuff figured out.
Good point about the bath. Anytime you gotta to ask for a bathroom key that comes on like a hockey stick, you know,
it's gonna be bad for sure.
Really bad. Nah, I gotta go with the boat launch, or, you know, in the woods or whatever. Because even if you go to a sketchy gas station, those are usually one holers, and you go in there, and if you jingle the door and it doesn't open, you're just like, oh, I'm stuck. Oh,
dude,
and you gotta wait. And you don't know if you're waiting for somebody doing the same thing.
Happen, and then you got to wait. You're in trouble now.
Yeah. You're stuck. No, you got to hold her in and do the old toilet paper and baby wipes. So I'm in on that.
Yeah. But also on the alternative though, as Brian and I experienced on opening weekend when the bugs were really bad, we both got to the landing and we're like, it's got to happen. So we both parted off like down the fork road, you know, he went one way, I went the other way, and I'm just sitting there, you know, whatever, you know, battling the elements and all. I just hear this like, God, oh, Jesus Christ, no. We both meet up back at the car. I'm like, dude, what was going on? He's like, nothing happened, man. There's mosquitoes everywhere. It was a bad situation.
And you trap them in your shorts and
it's not fun.
Dude.
All right. Well, that's probably gonna conclude our would you rather segment. There's a bunch of other good submissions, but I think
there wasn't like good like one good like scientific question or like musky geared question in that.
There are, but they're not. I know that Brian and Max are not picking them. What do you want me to go in there and maybe pick one? They're just going right through.
What kind of science questions are you looking for, Michael? Are you talking about like the flux capacitor, or what are we going to talk about with science?
Well, I was going to talk about hyperspace and how to get there faster.
Okay, here's one that's a little bit more philosophical. Would you rather speak every language to exist or have the ability to speak to animals?
Ability to speak to what? What was the last part?
The animals.
I missed it.
Animals.
Oh, duh, animals.
Yeah.
Come on. Give me what a brain buster. Think about it.
But then how much are the Muskies going to tease us then, Michael? How about that, though? They come up and like, yeah, good one.
Yeah, talking dirty to you.
You know that would be so funny. You'd want to be like, you'll get teased by a squirrel or a chipmunk. Come on, that'd be funny.
I do think
you didn't like me.
There is a lot of times when, like, if it's like slow out there, and then you hear like a I do this like, but you like hear a loon start laughing in the distance, and I'll be like, yeah, it is real funny, loon. I get it. I suck. Oh, yeah. I know.
Yep, they do laugh at you.
All right. Yeah, no, we, for whatever reason tonight, I think our Q&As are typically a little bit more, I mean, there are some good ones. I mean, they're, you know, would you rather fish in a, well, this one, I'm kind of like, I think is an obvious answer, but I mean, maybe you guys feel differently. Would you rather fish in a mid-July cold front or a hot mid-October day?
Ooh, a cold July, cold July day. Yeah, definitely.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree there too.
I mean, don't get me wrong. We've caught some big fish around me up here in October and November when it's got real hot, but you can just tell that they're way, way, way off. I mean, you got to get that. It's tough. It's way tougher than a July cold front, if you were to ask me.
I guess I just do my best work in the fall when I'm trolling on Green Bay. So for me, it's like October, hands down. I don't care if it's snowing, hailing, or raining. I'm taking an October over July most of the time. But that's just a Green Bay dummy perspective.
You're not a dummy. You're fishing for 55 inches.
Yeah, I guess. We're not really reinventing the wheel while we're doing it, but...
Hey, real quick,
pretty fun.
Phil, while we got you on here, one thing I did want to ask you, and I've been seeing this kind of around Facebook. So what's the deal with that Titletown Muskie full, like, summer-long league with a championship where you can it seems like you can catch a fish? Because I saw you registered the one that Michael got you on, and you won the week or something for your chapter. What's the story?
Yeah, it's a really neat thing. Tim Lowenschlager, our membership director, runs it. It's actually, we call it our Jordan Olson Memorial League because one of the guys from our club ended up, he got sick and he had cancer and he ended up passing away, unfortunately, but he always wanted to start a league like this. And basically from the beginning, from Southern Opener all the way up through Labor Day weekend, basically you just go muskie fishing, and whoever catches the biggest muskie for the week, you have to register it in the lunge log. I believe it has to be successfully released, obviously, because it's a Muskies Inc. deal. But there's not really much for, I mean, you can troll, you can cast, you can use live bait, whatever. And basically it's just a league throughout the year. And then we have outings throughout the year. We have our spring, summer, and fall outings. And the fall outing, if you've won one of the weeks during the summer, then the fall outing is also our league championship. So say if Michael and I are fishing together, we both won one of the league weeks, then we're both fishing for like that league championship then, as well as fishing our fall outing. And then if you win the championship, the league championship, then the club pays for a registration for you to come fish the spring classic. So basically that's the prize if you win the league championship, is you get a paid entry into the spring classic. So it's a neat deal. It's fun to see, you know, guys fish all over the state. They fish other states. You know, if Kyle goes and catches a monster on Vermilion, he can register that. Like, it's a really fun thing to see. And it's kind of fun too, because like when things heat up here in August on the bay, like guys are catching big fish every week. And it's like, oh, you got a 50, you got a 51, 52. Like, is that going to hold? Are you going to win this week? Or is somebody going to, you know, and that all kind of gets compiled. And at the end of the week, you know, we posted every week who won the league week. So the 46 that I caught with Michael won the week for that week. And it's a fun thing. You get to kind of keep up with where people are going, different places they travel, and it's a fun, friendly competition type thing too.
That's awesome. And I know that two of your fish was caught on a banger that Kyle makes, and then another one was caught on a Phil Glidebait that another good friend of ours that we had on, Nick Ambrose. I don't remember if we talked about that at all. We probably brought it up, I think.
Talked to you guys, it was before opener, so I definitely didn't talk to you about it. I think we talked about the bait, but yeah, my good buddy Tom caught a friggin' giant. It was 56 and change. The first week of season on a Phil Glidebait. So that was pretty awesome. He caught it solo too. He's casting by himself. Very, very shallow water. He said it was absolutely insane. But yeah, I enjoyed that story quite a bit, especially since the bait was named after me. And the only real reason I didn't have anything involvement besides that I just hate throwing glide baits and then and my name's on there like caught on the Phil Glidebait. Very nice.
It's spelled with two L's.
Yep.
That's Nick for you.
I love it. But yeah, those bangers, awesome. Man, they've been Kyle finally, after I've been prodding him for 2 years or so, finally made a Facebook site. Seems like he's been getting a lot of those baits out the door and people have really been catching fish on them. So it's been exciting to see. I know he had another big order from Dorn's in Madison and he's got a bunch of stores. Rich Reinert from the Wisconsin Muskie Expo has been spreading the good word for him. And I know Taylor Flannery's got a hold of some and got some fish in the boat with him. And it seems like everywhere they go, people are catching on them. So it's pretty neat to see something that Kyle made is really taking off, it seems like.
Oh yeah, for sure. Those baits are awesome. I can't wait to continue to use them and hopefully smash some big fish this year for sure.
Yeah.
When the bucktail bite heats back up, because it definitely cooled off for a second there. But yeah, I don't know if Max or Brian, do you want to do any more Would You Rathers? Or I know we unfortunately got a little cut off on the whole story of the weekend. I don't know where we're at when Phil had to leave and Kyle kind of got out there, but I don't know if there was anything else that you guys maybe wanted to touch on there on the weekend, or if it kind of was
not that I need up. To. I mean, we had fun. We caught some nice.
It was
fish.
Just a blast. It was awesome. We got to hang out with Michael, get to know him better. I got to meet Robbie and Heidi. That was fun too. We had a very fun weekend with him, and the hospitality was first class. The fishing, his patience with us being Goombas was just 10 out of 10 across the board.
I like laughing, though, and you guys made me laugh a lot, so that's really important.
Oh, yeah. When I met Michael at the Wasatch Show a couple of years ago, I knew we were going to get along well. I don't know if we want to let that out on the podcast, but our big idea, you remember that, Michael? We were trying to get Hunter to go back and talk to Sims and tell him that they need to make Sun fishing shirts that look like the tuxedos from Dumb and Dumber and then other tuxedo style fishing shirts so that you can show up and be like, I'm formal, but I also like to party. And he said, absolutely not. I'm not telling him that. I'm like, dang it. That'd be sweet.
Oh, we'll get him to bite on it.
I don't hate it. Dude,
I would wear those on every guide trip. I'm not kidding. That would set the tone for the day. Like, listen, we're going to have a good time, but also I'm here for it. I'm serious.
I love that.
So, Michael, what's the rest of the season looking like for you as far as openings? You got some dates left on your calendar for people. I think after listening to this, if they're going up to the Hayward area, I mean, they got to book a trip, right? I think that's just protocol here. So what's the rest of your summer and fall looking like?
Yeah, no, I definitely have some openings every month moving forward, all the way through November. So not a ton, but enough. So give me a shout. Love to have some more people in the boat shooting for these giant Wisconsin muskies, and it's only going to get better now that we have some warm water up and down throughout that column. We start getting some cold fronts later on in that September and everything. It's going to get really good, but August is always good too. We've caught most of our biggest fish in August, it seems like, so I'm pumped.
Awesome. Right. And how can they get a hold of you?
I mean, give me a shout on my cell phone, 608-695-9073. Otherwise, you can hit me up on, any of the digital messaging systems on Facebook or Instagram. My Instagram is at muskyhunter21, and I spell it I-E, not Y.
There you go.
I've been appreciating you popping on Facebook every once and just throwing a little heat in the comment section every once in a blue moon, and then just and then just bouncing out.
Dude, you know, it's not that. You know, it's just like I'm tired of people like watching our water temperatures from, you know, hundreds of miles away and questioning, and like, I don't know, I'm not on there to be a to throw too much heat and be a dick by any means, but I'm just trying to keep people in check, like, hey, you know, watch your own bobber, keep doing you, unless it's something really, really bad, get out of here. But yeah, I might rip on a bait or two every once in a while, but
somebody's gotta keep everyone in line.
I'm not loyal to any one bait company. Everybody knows that. You know, I throw multiple blades from multiple bait, you know, blade companies, because they're all unique and good in their own ways. And I'd be a fool if I said I threw one bait from any one bait maker. You know, it's just not the real world. So open up your eyes, people. Make sure you're buying from small people or a small batch bait small company. People. Small people. Not small people. Well, I could, but no, that'd be mean.
Yeah, we'll leave that one where it's at. I know.
But, out online, there's so much shit out there, and there's so many really good anglers out there. And if you keep an eye on those guys, and those people are promoting the stuff that really works for them. Gus, I know you do that. Kyle's baits. I'm hands down, they're great. They're awesome. And there's nothing like that out there out on the market. And I'd be a fool if I didn't say that they were great. So it doesn't matter. You know, listen to the people that are out there that are doing this every day and are really out there to sell some baits that work, not to make a dime.
Preach, preach. I think every once in a while we just also have to get you on to just like keep everybody back in equilibrium here. Like bring everybody back to one level. Like, hey, everybody, cool your jets. Cool it. Appreciate that, Michael. Phil, what about you down there in Green Bay? What you got for openings and going after the big, big ones down there?
Yeah. I have a very limited days in August. I run a limited number of casting trips. I don't claim to be, you know, out there casting every day. When it gets to the fall, September, October, I have a lot of trips booked already, but that's really when I do, you know, I take my time off from my full-time job, and I'm on the water definitely multiple days a week that time of year, usually, you know, 4 days a week plus in September, October. So the fall trolling season is when I really get fired up. I do have a few trips or a few days available in August. So if you do want to come cast, we can make that happen if you're able to do any of the days that I have. But yeah, September, October is really my time where I do a lot of my guiding, and we got some openings for that yet. If you want to get a weekend day, reach out soon because I have very limited weekend days left, but absolutely. If you want to come fish Green Bay, it's a great fishery. It's the reason why I live where I live. And, anytime you're out there, you just have a chance at the fish of a lifetime. So it's pretty awesome. I love it. Whether you're whether you're trolling or zombie casting or do whatever you're doing, like I said, we're not reinventing the wheel down here. It's not the scenic vistas of Lake Namakagan, but man, we got some big old fish. So it is a lot of fun.
Awesome.
Way to name drop a lake, Phil.
Dude, your guide service is Namakagan area guide service.
We got you.
I'm not saying that's where I'm just. No, I drove past it once. It looked nice.
No, and Phil is really good out there. If you see his track record out there, and after spending some time out in the boat with them, and you know, that was my first time out in the boat with Phil and those guys, and they're a freaking riot. If you don't have a good time with that guy out in the boat, you must have a personality of a front door.
That's awesome. How can they get a hold of you? Yeah. How can they get a hold of you, Phil?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You can hit me up on my phone, 262-323-4155. Find us on Facebook, Angler Sport Fishing. Instagram is Angler Sport Fishing Phil. And We do have an email as well, info@anglersportfishing.net. So lots of ways to reach us. We can hit us up. We'll let you know what we have left for dates, and we'd love to get you out on Green Bay and do a little bit of fishing.
Right on. Awesome. Sweet. Well, thank you guys very much for taking all this time and sitting down and chatting with us tonight. It was a blast. I don't know if I've laughed that hard on a podcast yet. Yeah. So that was a really good time.
That was good fun. That was awesome.
No, always good being on here with you guys. You guys do a great job. So it's always fun listening and being a part of it from time to time. So
yeah, thanks for coming on, Michael.
Having me back, guys. Sorry I had to dip there in the middle.
That's okay. All right. Thanks for coming back on, and keep getting big fish, guys, and we'll definitely stay in touch. And I think for time's sake, Brian, you want to rip an outro right here with everybody on and take it away.
It's a big crowd here.
Yeah, hit it up. Do it.
Here, I'll pass it over to Phil halfway. When I go quiet, you just start yapping, all right?
I mean, all right,
everybody, thank you for listening to this week's episode of Muskies on Tap. Shout out to Phil. Shout out to Michael. And shout out to Mr. Huntsy Tail himself for coming on. Incredible showing. Lots of laughs. Guys, I mean, we're going to have to do a full group outing this fall, all get together and rip it on the boat. I don't know how much fishing we get done, a lot of distractions in place. Be a good time.